Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X's and O's. Ladies and gentlemen, boy, we got a show for you today. First of all, thank you for tuning in to episode 33 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real raw radio for the real sports fan. The number to call into the show is 858-777-8433. Make sure you press 1 on your mobile device so you'll be heard. And if you don't do that, I ain't going to know that you want to talk. So make sure you press 1 on your mobile device and we will put you through the phone lines. Professor X Factor will be joining us momentarily. My man, Chef, Executive Chef Q Drakeford will be joining me momentarily. Man, look, man, I'm going to tell you right now, we got some news for y'all today. The NFL has been on damn fire right now. Shit is crazy. Things is, man, I just don't know what the hell's going on around here. But I will tell you this. Let me go ahead and recap these games yesterday, man. There was a lot of games that were one-sided. There were some games that were obvious, and there were some games I was like, ooh, it is what it is. But Dallas Cowboys can't stand the ass, but they beat the Washington Redskins 31-21. The Indianapolis Colts end up beating the Titans 19-17. The Seahawks squeezed by the Pittsburgh Steelers 28-26. The Bills beat my New York Football Giants. Yeah, I know. Damn it, I know. 28-14. We're going to get into that a little bit later on in the show. The Patriots shellacked the damn Miami Dolphins 43-0. The Jacksonville Jaguars lost to the Houston Texans by 1 point, 13-12. The Packers, which I was surprised, actually ended up beating the Vikings 21-16. The Lions beat the Chargers 13-10. And this game, 41-17, the 49ers beat the hell out of the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy who? I'm going to say it again, damn it. Andy who? I don't know where the hell he – I'm going to leave that alone. The Cardinals end up losing to the Ravens 23-17. The Chiefs beat the Raiders 28-10. My man Patrick Mahomes showed his natural ass yesterday. He put on a clinic. You hear me? 4 touchdowns in 1 quarter. He was unbelievable. The Saints – who, Saints fan? Man, I know y'all right now are, 27-9, the Rams beat the Saints. Drew Brees went out with an injury and torn a ligament in his thumb. The Bears beat the Broncos 16-14, and the Philadelphia Eagles lose to the Atlanta Falcons 24-20. The game at the beginning of that game was a little slow, but it started to get better towards the third quarter and the end of the game. That's when all the action happened in that game on Sunday night. Tonight's game, the Cleveland Browns will face the New York Jets. Now, I don't have my other people on here right now, but they will be joining the show momentarily. But I'm going to go ahead and give you my score prediction in that game. I picked Cleveland to actually win this game. And the reason why I picked Cleveland, because I believe they will bounce back from that loss that they had last week. It showed that Baker Mayfield, maybe he might have been a little overconfident. Maybe the offense wasn't as in tune as they thought they were. So I just don't see the New York Jets actually beating the Cleveland Browns because their defense is still stout. Their defense is still good. Now, I'm not saying that Cleveland are world beaters. I'm not saying that. Far from saying that. I just don't think the New York Jets have enough firepower, even with Le'Veon Bell. And the Lord knows I love Le'Veon Bell. But at the same time, I think they need a lot more than that in order to win against that Cleveland defense. So that's why. But in this case, I'm going to pick Cleveland to beat the Jets 24-17. That's my prediction. Ladies and gentlemen, let me go ahead and let my brother on the line real quick. He just tuned in. This is my man, Executive Chef, NYC's Finest. My man, Q Draper, is on the line. My brother, what's going on, family?
What's going on, man?
I'm here, man.
What did I miss? What were you talking about?
You ain't missed nothing, baby. I was just telling people the scores from yesterday's game, and I was just giving my prediction to tonight's game against the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. So I was just, saying,
so you were smart and put your money on gangrene, right?
Nah, actually, I'm not, sir. No.
Oh,
I'm
so
actually
sorry for your loss.
Hey, man. Hey. Mm-hmm.
Sorry for your loss.
So obviously,
don't believe me. Just watch.
I know that you put the Browns. I mean, not the Browns. The Jets. I know you picked the Jets. And
that's right.
Yeah,
Trevor Siemens.
And the reason why I was doing the prediction is because I wanted to get it out the way. So I just predicted 24-17 will be the final score of Cleveland over the New York Jets. But you give me your score prediction in tonight's game. What is the score?
Oh,
tonight?
Okay. Got you. Easy. The Jets will have one or more points than Cleveland. That's my prediction.
Okay. So, you know.
That's right.
Okay, so you're not gonna pinpoint it. So it's just one point.
No, I don't get that. That's juvenile. I'm OG. It's win or lose. Don't tell me about no. Don't talk to me about no Vegas, no spreads, no. That bullshit. I'm OG. It's
I'm
win
OG.
Or lose. It's win or lose.
I'm gonna tell you
at the end of the year, when you discussing who makes the playoffs and who's division champs, is anybody talking about a spread? I think not.
No, they don't.
They talking about wins and losses.
I'm gonna be mad as hell at you. I promise you, I will. If this game turns out tonight, some shit like 27-28 or if it comes out to something like that, I promise you, man. I'm telling you right now,
mm-hmm.
You got your hand in something.
Hey, you already need to fucking say that. You know why? Because last week I told you and all the listeners,
yes sir,
my bold prediction. I said,
yes,
I believe
there's
going to be at least three backup quarterbacks leading their teams to the playoffs. One
right.
might even make the Super Bowl. I said all that. And in 1 week, we got four new quarterbacks all back.
Four new quarterbacks, yeah. Four
and
backup
so,
quarterbacks.
Yeah, you damn right, my hand is something.
Let me find out that you are out here strong-arming people or strong-arming teams in the National Football League. Talking about, look, I need your hands to be forward. I need you bleed the fifth. Let me find out, you big red around these parts.
Hey, I'm known around these corridors.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm about to get Minka out of Miami and Jalen out of Jacksonville.
You know what? go ahead, baby. Go ahead. That's where I was about to go to, man. You got the floor, man. You just had some exclusives. Did you want to go ahead and bless Locker Room Talk Radio?
Hey, yeah. Well, you know, when I discussed the exclusive with you, it was an exclusive. The Adam Schefter's little punk ass just tweeted out the world, I think, about 5 minutes ago, talking about Jalen Ramsey is demanding a trade. And could be gone as early as this week because Jacksonville is seeking a first and some more. Just like Miami is seeking a first for Minka and some more.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Gotcha. So Minka can be gone for a late first and a player, and Jalen can be gone for a mid to early first and a third.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
And both players could be in a different jersey by Sunday.
By this Sunday. Got you.
Yup.
Got you. That's wow. Got you. Well, here at Locker Room Talk Radio, we like to open up each show with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it here, LRTR. Damn. Yo, Dallas Cowboys defensive end Taco Charlton wants out of Dallas. He tweets, and I quote, "Free me." Yeah, that's pretty much that's all that he said. Yo, I don't understand why, but, you know, at the end of the day, his ass is not happy in Dallas. And while I keep going with the rest of his news, before, let me get my other brother here on the line right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the floor, sir.
Well, well, well. Well, well, well.
Crazy.
I got one question.
Okay.
Hey, Steelers fans, did the rings help y'all out yesterday?
He is just itching, boy, to talk about them Steelers. Hey, we're going to get into that, man. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my brother, man, my man here, Professor X Factor, that's joining the show. I'm going to go ahead and.
How about them Niners?
Hey, man, we're going to definitely get into that, too. But before we get, let me go ahead and finish. Let me go ahead and finish this real quick, and then we're going to go ahead and get into these topics, man. Adam Terry is holding off his retirement. He's definitely going to play in next week's game, and he doesn't have a timetable on his retirement. So he's holding off as the moment.
Basically,
right,
what he's saying is, if I play lights out on Sunday, I'm going to stick around.
Oh, Lord.
Got you. So. Now, in other news. We are pretty much going to go ahead and I'm going to get everybody's take on it before we get into my New York Football Giants and we're going to get into the Pittsburgh Steelers situation. Of course, Antonio Brown, there has been rumors, well, allegedly right now, three more victims are supposed to come out. Actually, two supposed to come out and one is kind of on the fence. So, executive, you have any more other information to add to that? As far as the three new alleged cases against Antonio Brown.
Oh, let me be Pat Shermer with the answer.
I can either confirm nor deny.
All I can say about this right now is we know what we know so far.
Right.
And we welcome all new information, and we're going to take it one day at a time. So. That's all I'm going to speak on it moving forward. And,
okay.
You know, that's about it.
Got you. My man is Zach.
Pat Shermer, ladies and gentlemen. Pat Shermer.
Hey, I got a quick question.
Wait a minute. Before your question,
yeah.
Alleged three more alleged victims are supposed to be coming forward.
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care.
You don't care? Yeah, I just want to make sure that you got to just do the same.
Because it's been made evident to me after some other research that I did earlier in the day that apparently in this country we have forgotten what the definition of sexual assault is. So I really don't care.
Clearly.
I don't give a damn.
Clearly.
Okay.
So, you know, because now standing with a towel on means you assaulted somebody. So don't go to – so, fellas, don't go to the beach. don't go to the beach. You're going to get accused of sexual assault if you go to the beach, especially if you got a towel on.
Now, I'm glad that you said that, gentlemen. Before you actually
wait. Unless you got a nub.
I'm gonna play this quick clip right now of Steven Jackson. We all know Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson, the former NBA player. This clip is courtesy of YouTube TMZ Sports, and the interviewer asked Steven Jackson, "What do you think about the Antonio Brown case?" And this is what he had to say.
Uh oh.
Take a listen.
Do you think the Patriots should play him? Like, what should they do with him?
I mean, there's allegations. So until he's proven guilty, you gotta let him play.
Right.
They got somebody playing on their team that just got caught with some coke. You know what I mean? So they gotta let him play. But at the end of the day, if you still work with somebody that's been sexual assaulting you, hide that sexual assault. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on, but at the end of the day, I just don't understand the timing of it. There's a lot of stuff that's been going on with AB, and she decides to come out with it 3 years later around the time AB's going through all this other stuff. I just kind of tricked her. But at the end of the day, I'm on the side of the athlete, and she's proven guilty. So shout out to AB. Y'all know how I rock.
So right now, not trying to be suspending him with Jay to figure it all out. I mean, that's going to affect him too, his head and all that.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, all that stuff bothers you because you're human.
Right.
But you got a job to do. You got to block that shit out and play. And AB's been great at playing the last couple of years, so I don't think that's going to bother.
What about, like, the women out there that are victims, too? Like, how do you – what's the sense of the way
that's
to go about
that? That's what I say. You only can ride with him until he's proven guilty. If he's proven guilty, that's another thing. But any man that has to take something from a woman, he's not a man. Any man that has to put his hands on a woman, he's not a man. So we're not talking about men. We're talking about something else. You know what I'm saying? Real men don't put their hands on women. Real men ain't got to take that from them. Trust me. You know what I mean? So that's a whole different situation.
Steven Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. That's pretty much what he said, and he's pretty much echoing the sentiments of Professor X Factor. I'm rocking with the athlete until you can prove that this dude is guilty. Don't say nothing else to me and all that good stuff. And
yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. But what was your question, Professor X Factor? What was your question?
Tell me you've heard about Jalen Ramsey.
Yes, we did. We were talking about that before you got on.
Yeah, I already dropped the exclusive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Some of them.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of things going on around here, man. Like I said, I was talking about the games, man. I got to ask y'all this question, man, before we get into my New York Football Giants and before we get into this Pittsburgh Steelers saga and this Big Ben alleged rumor thing. Executive, and I wanted to get to this game because you just happened to say it before I did. What's going on with Jimmy G and these 49ers, man? What the hell is going on over there in San Francisco? 41 points?
Okay. Well, first of all, who did they play?
Okay. If you give me a minute, sir, I'll look it up.
The Bengals.
The Bengals. They play the Bengals.
Right.
The Vols so
less
Bengals.
So let's calm down.
Exactly.
On this hype train, and let's put some shit on pause now.
Okay.
I said the same shit last week with Baltimore. Now, mind you, everybody knows I'm behind Baltimore, specifically because I'm behind Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely.
So. But you are a fool if you thought 59 points per game was going to be the average. Baltimore played Miami.
Right, absolutely.
The same way Garoppolo put up 41 points because San Fran played Cincinnati. Let's
not pretend. They played two bums. They played Tampa Bay and
let's
Cincinnati.
Not pretending like we don't know.
Keep it in perspective.
Who the low profile teams are this season? let's keep it 100. So
gotcha.
I'm glad. So basically, okay, I'm gonna put you like this.
Okay.
What Garoppolo just did is he went to a strip club to lose his virginity, and then he came home to his girlfriend so that they could have sex for the first time. So he went off with he know what he's doing now. He think he knows something. You feel me? Now he can go home and play a real team. You understand what I'm saying? So now we're going to see. Talk to me after week three. Week one was almost misfire. And week two, he was playing the Bengals. The only thing good in Cincinnati is chili. Y'all know that.
They play Pittsburgh in week three. So I mean, after what happened to them sons, bitches, I mean,
right? No, but I'm only talking about Jimmy G. I'm not talking about the end result of the game. A W is a W, but that's a team result. I'm talking about does Jimmy G go off the same way against the next tier? You know, because Pittsburgh would be average because if Cincinnati's below average, then Pittsburgh's defense would be average. Does he go off against an average team? Okay, cool. If he does that, then I want to see him against a good team. Then let's see him against an elite team. Until then, I don't want to hear that. Move on to the next topic. Jimmy G, you had a good game. Congratulations. If he didn't throw 41 points, his ass might be on the bench for Nick Mullen. That's all I'm saying.
Professor?
So I think he went off because his job was on the line.
Got you.
There was a lot of whispers.
Got you.
I told you he looked like somebody just threatened my job, Donovan McNabb.
Mm-hmm. I told you
that.
There was already a speculation about Nick Mullens coming in because you know Mullens lit that shit up last year. What?
Yeah.
With that, it was Mullens to the tight end. Hey, guess what? Touchdown, Mullens to the tight end.
And George Kittle.
All
yep.
year. That's what the hell it was.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's all it was.
Yep.
So
next.
Exactly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get into it, man. My New York Football Giants, man, we fell 0-2 yesterday to the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to go ahead and let my man executive start this conversation off real quick. Everybody right now, you know, up in arms, from the coaching staff to, you know, social media to the fans. The fans, they want to see the young boy come in there. They want to see Daniel Jones come on the center. They Eli is done.
That's not all the fans. That's only about half of them. The real fans know that none of this shit is on Eli.
I got you, executive man.
Oh, excuse
you got
me.
The floor,
excuse
man.
Me. Wait. Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
Because the real fans do know that some of it is on Eli. We're not
got
stupid.
You. Got you.
But we know that the 0-2 start is not all or majority Eli's fault.
Gotcha.
Okay. He's got a handcuffed offensive playbook. The head coach is playing offensive coordinator and playing and sending out a rotation of 30 friggin' plays per game, and he's blaming it on not the ability of the offense, but the lack of wide receiver options because of injury. What? These are 53 grown-ass men that are playing professional sports and getting paid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The hell do you mean you're handicapping the offense because your wide receivers are hurt? Evan Ingram is out there. Cody Latimer is out there. Saquon Barkley is out there. I don't give a damn what their actual position is. That sounds like three wide receivers to me. Hey, professor, doesn't that sound like three people that can run and catch? So I don't want to hear about a position
right.
group is depleted, and that's the reason
right.
you're handcuffing the offense, because
right.
Eli is not the type of quarterback to go against the grain. I don't care if you recommend that he should, or it might be different for him to actually show some passion, show some power. That's not him. That's not
gotcha.
Pain. So he's not Aaron Rodgers and going to say, I don't give a damn what play you send in. I'm going to audible. Omaha! That's not going to happen in New York, not with Eli. Eli's going to follow suit. And if you're stupid if you think anything is going to change with Daniel Jones in the center. The only thing that changes is a couple of drives get extended a little bit more because Daniel Jones is capable of running for a third and short yardage first down move the chain. But it does not change the defense. It does not change the wide receiver corps. And anybody who's a Daniel Jones supporter or hater knows
right.
that the reason why Daniel Jones was not on anybody's radar during the draft, on anybody's radar in the first round, is because he didn't have the stats to prove that he is a first-round talent. Now, the reason for that, if you actually dissect Daniel Jones's college career, you'll see that the reason he doesn't have those stats is because he had no receivers to catch the ball or stretch the field. His throws were always on point. His throws were always powerful. He didn't overthrow people. He didn't underthrow people. He could throw back shoulder. He could throw post. He could throw deep. He could throw short. He's there. He's capable. The problem is he was at Duke. So miss me with the Dwayne Haskins is better. We should have had Dwayne. Dwayne was at Ohio State. My grandmother could have got good stats thrown being quarterback at Ohio State. If you change quarterbacks and change teams, Daniel Jones all of a sudden has weapons and has first-round statistics and therefore first-round talent. Nobody from Duke at the offensive line or wide receiver core is in the National Football League in Daniel Jones' class. Nobody. Dwayne Haskins, half of Ohio State is playing in the National Football League right now. So I say all that to say this. You do not make a quarterback switch during a week where you have no weapons. It will expose the entire problem of Daniel Jones. He's going to look like an amateur. So what is the point? Because you can't pull him, and then he loses three games. Now you're 0-5. You can't put Eli back in there because now you fucked up the mental psyche of your young rookie quarterback. Your fan base is getting ready to burn down MetLife Stadium. Mara's getting ready to throw a chair like he's Odell Beckham. And Odell's sitting there watching games. Even if the Cleveland Browns are 2-3, he's sitting there smiling.
That's a lot, boy. Let me get to Professor. Giants head coach Pat Shurmur said he's not committing to Eli Manning week 3 as a starter. Professor, you got the floor, man. What's your take?
How old is Eli now?
37.
Whether we like it or not, in the game yesterday, Eli threw the ball 45 times.
Okay.
He only completed 26 of those passes.
Okay.
Two of them get picked off.
Okay.
In a 28-14 loss.
Okay.
At home. Against the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Your secondary looks like shit.
Okay.
The reason your secondary looks like shit is because you can't generate a goddamn pass rush up front.
Got you.
You cannot. You do not have the ability to cover a tight end. You don't have the defensive ends that can keep a quarterback in the damn pocket because Josh Allen did a whole lot of goddamn rolling out yesterday and finding receivers downfield, and I mean wide open with not a defensive back within 10 fucking yards of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know where the hell your corners and your safeties learn to play football at, but that's not how the game is played. Yeah, well, I'll just hang out here and, you know, maybe he'll get open. Maybe he won't. I can't blame yesterday's game. Even with the two picks, I can't really blame that game on Eli. Your defense looks like trash. It is fucking horrible. Saquon Barkley gets over 100 yards. Eli has 250 yards, a touchdown, and two picks. Now, let's look at this. Josh Allen has 253 yards and one touchdown. Frank Gore has 68 yards rushing and a touchdown. Devin Singletary had 57 yards and a touchdown. Cole Beasley had 4 catches for 83 yards. John Brown had 7 catches for 72 yards. Isaiah McKenzie had 2 catches for 40. Dawson Knox, 1 catch for 18. Frank Gore had 2 catches for 15. But, like, he had... Dude, it's like 8 different receivers up here that he hit. Lorenzo Alexander forced a fumble.
I don't look.
And here's the thing, you know, Lorenzo Alexander and Harrison Phillips combined for 1 sack and 1 tackle for loss and that forced fumble.
Right.
Your defense, you can't give up 20-yard passes downfield, dog. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that on third down. On third down. It was third down. Like, goddamn. Like, look.
I don't know.
It used to be third. It was third and long. Third down. What did the Buffalo Bills do? They pick that shit up. Damn near every time. Third and long. Bang, pick it up. Third and long. Bang,
it was
pick it up.
Out of the 45 passes Eli threw, 12 were dropped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was another problem y'all had.
12 were dropped.
They couldn't catch the goddamn ball.
And that's my point about, because I'm not even sitting here saying that Daniel Jones wouldn't be a better option at quarterback. I'm not
but
even sitting here saying that.
Ball. I don't give it.
But what I'm saying
ball.
Is,
I don't give a shit who threw it.
Correct. And that's my point. My point is the reason Daniel Jones was never on anybody's radar. The reason why Duke was never a threatening team in college is because no receiver, and I mean tight ends included,
nobody
could catch the ball.
Yeah, nobody,
no top-tier
high school receiver wanted to go to Duke. They don't want to go there.
So you're not going to fix anything, and I mean absolutely nothing.
But
if you put Daniel Jones in
to me, this game absolutely made me think of a question.
Go ahead.
It's funny. You know, Pittsburgh fans, they talk shit all offseason about how Juju Smith-Schuster was their safety. He looks like shit in 2 weeks.
Well, that's because fans are – never mind. I ain't going to say that.
Fans are fickle. Fans are fickle as hell. We know.
Yeah,
but
see, that's a better word than I was going to use.
Now that Pittsburgh is 0-2, somebody asked the question, do you think that the Steelers would be 0-2 if they had Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell? And the answer is absolutely fucking not.
Hell no.
Do you think that – now, here's the other question. Now I'm going to ask this question to the two Giants fans on the show. Do you think that the Giants would be 0-2 if you still had Odell Beckham Jr. in the lineup?
Hell yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And not only would we have two L's, we would also be in the media about this damn watch, about a temper tantrum in the locker room, a hole in the wall.
What?
Negro, please. You damn right. We'd be 0-2.
You damn right.
Matter of fact, we might be 0-1 plus a disqualification. game ended because teams didn't have enough players to play.
But now here's the follow up question: would you be 0-2 because you had Odell, or would you be 0-2 because your defense sucks?
I'll say
no. We'd be 0-2 because of both. Because then, but listen, my point is this. I still don't care. My point is this. Okay? Odell being Odell and nobody else being Odell around Odell means that Odell now needs, wants, and desires and prefers and prioritizes and pleads and pleases himself. Which means if the offense is not running through him, it's going to be a problem. So either with Odell, we are now catering to him, which Eli is not the quarterback to cater to Odell. We all can agree on that, no matter who you like. And then, or we're not catering to him, which means then we're unsuccessful because
I don't agree with that. That Eli doesn't cater to Odell, or that he won't cater to Odell, because I watched.
No. That's not what I was saying. I'm saying that Eli is not the type of quarterback that Odell needs to be successful. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Eli is not willing to, or wouldn't choose to, or desire, or follow directions. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in
I'm not even talking about Eli not following directions. I'm talking about the instances where Eli was forcing the ball into Odell when Odell was double and triple fucking covered. That's what I'm talking about. If that ain't
correct,
catering, I don't know what in the hell is.
No, but again, that's not Eli catering to him, and that was my point. That's Pat
Shurmur. Eli
throwing
the ball.
No, and that's the part that you're not listening. That's the part that you're missing.
No,
Pat
I don't
Shurmur
need to listen to that. And I'm
going
to tell you why I don't
yes,
need to listen
you
to
do.
That.
Yes, you do. You need to
Eli
listen to it. No, the reason he
Super Bowl
that is not the point. He is not a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback that goes against the grain. He has never been that. He never will be that. He follows the rule. He follows
Shurmur.
The rule. That's how he
is. Listen to Pat Shurmur for
and,
shit.
But that's because you're an Aaron Rodgers personality. You are an
Pat
alpha
Shurmur
male. You are a dominant omega.
Eli
and Eli is not. Eli is the type of man that you want to be the face of your franchise because he's going to conform. He's going to listen. He's going to follow suit. He is blue collar.
Even when it means getting your ass kicked on Sunday, that I don't fucking buy. Wouldn't buy that shit with a $2 food stamp card.
Well, we already discussed. Well, we already discussed off of the air, and we can discuss it again off of the air. You weren't privy to it, but earlier this morning, somebody did put their foot down. Mm. We can talk about that more after the show.
Oh, absolutely.
That's correct.
Sure
so you there may be some truth to what you say. I cannot confirm nor deny. There may be some truth to what you say,
bro. I can accept the fact that Eli is not a go against the grain type of guy.
Correct.
But
no, but he's also not a bend over and take it. Trust me.
Yeah,
trust
that's
me.
My point. That's my point.
Right.
You're not gonna tell me that Eli is just. I don't give a shit how. Somebody stole my puppy. He look in the goddamn face when he make a mistake
that's
on
right.
game day. I don't give a shit about that. He is not just going to sit there. You had that nappy-headed ass girl come pick you up? Ugh. He is not just going to sit there.
On damn point.
And take you putting the team. And here's the question I have.
Okay.
Do the Giants have a system set up where Eli is allowed to audible at the line of scrimmage?
No, not really, and that's what the problem is. Because I don't know if you heard me earlier, but Pat Shurmur has handicapped the offense to 30 rotational offensive plays because, as he explains it, lack of depth at the receiver position.
Oh my God!
And not enough reps.
Did you draft
a bunch
of guys that you knew didn't know how to catch?
You
drafted them to get them to catch the ball. Let them do their damn job.
And that's exactly what the arguments were made this morning.
Unless what you're going to tell me is that you fucked up on draft day, in which case I need to get your ass out of here.
Well, actually, no, because that's what Pat Shurmur was arguing about, because Pat Shurmur allegedly did not have control over any draft pick.
What? Oh my God, man! The Giants are fucking up.
They are
fucking up.
That's correct.
Hey, man, look, check this out, man. We can go
at the end of the day. Believe it or not, I'm gonna say this.
Okay.
I'm gonna say this.
I just don't have the energy for it anymore.
There's two things that messed up the franchise. Okay.
Are you taking a leave and drink some?
Mara not willing to spend the money for Bill Cowher.
He can't afford. He can't afford Bill.
Yes, he can't afford Bill. Yes, he can't afford Bill. Because
he wanted to pay, he can't afford.
Yes, he did, because Bill wasn't asking for more than Gruden. Bill wasn't asking for more than Gruden. So, rightfully so. Correct.
Okay.
And then the second thing that messed up the Giants is when Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft declined the Giants' opportunity to interview Josh McDaniels.
Yep.
Those are the two things.
Quoted as telling Josh McDaniels, "Thanks for staying."
Correct. Those are the two things that began the handicap decline and negative domino effect of the New York Football Giants. Mara saying no to Cowher, and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft keep handcuffing Josh McDaniels to New England.
That's just like what they did to that boy Mitchell Trubisky over there in Chicago on week one. They handcuffed him.
Yeah,
they handcuffed him.
I guarantee you, Josh McDaniels would not be running this offense.
Why do teams draft players that they're so high on draft day, but that sentiment doesn't seem to be prevalent during the season?
You just
talk all this shit in the off season about how much you love this motherfucker stinking jockstrap, and then you gonna handcuff him and handicap him on the field. What is going on? What are we doing?
Mm. Mm. St- stupidity.
Like, what do they do? I don't understand why. Because what you're telling me is that you drafted a guy that you know you couldn't trust. Pittsburgh, James Conner.
Yep.
Okay, well, let me say this. Let me get in here real quick. Like I said, I sat here not much on
rule. Sorry, fans. I can't give you the third reason.
Okay. After the show. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, let me put it like this. Get on my damn nerves. Go ahead and give the third damn reason, man, and I'll go ahead with Tom. Every day, hello.
And the third reason the Giants are failing and have handicapped their season is because Dave Gettleman hired James Betcher to run a 3-4 instead of a 4-3.
Hallelujah. Go ahead.
You don't have the personnel.
Hallelujah.
That,
you do not have that, the personnel.
That is the icing on the cake, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, James Betcher,
If you're going to run a 3-4, you know what you have to have that the Giants have not had in years?
You need two Lawrence Taylors.
You need linebackers. You need studs
in the
linebacker.
You need two Lawrence Taylors.
And give me a Harry Carson on the side. I got it. I'm with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to the next thing, but I'm going to say my little two-piece, man. With all the things that Professor said and Executive said, I'm going to tell you what I believe. This is my personal opinion, man, where I started our demise is how the Mariners did my man, Tom Coughlin. I think that's where it really started.
Yep,
when that
started.
Happened,
I was
going to
say that.
When that, when that happened, that everything else, everything else after that, I agree with. But when they got rid of Coughlin,
this ain't nothing. This ain't shit but the Coughlin curse.
Yeah, that's
this
exactly
is the
what it is. That's exactly what it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause that subject and we're going to move on to the one that I know Professor X Factor has been itching, scratching to talk about. Rumor report. that's a professor. I mean, that's an executive lab. I had to put that in there.
I don't laugh like no punk ass cartoon. I'm just
you stupid. You know what? Steal a fan.
You better put some bass in your throat.
Shit. You stupid stuff. Steal a fan. A lot of things going on in Pittsburgh right now. Big Ben, for those that don't know. My man, Hustle Man, aka Hustle Man. Well. Big Ben is going to be out for the season due to an elbow injury. Okay.
Allegedly.
And, allegedly, yes. And I'm not even going to read off the teleprompter, off the script, or whatever. I'm just going to pretty much paraphrase. Like, you know, that's my word, paraphrase. Supposedly, the word on the street is, like my man Jerome. The street is that Big Ben earlier today was with the medical staff, you know, looking at his elbow and all that good stuff, and he was talking to the people that were taking care of him, and allegedly this came out of his mouth. And I quote, allegedly, "I'm glad that this injury happened to me now so I would not be a part of a 4-12 team." End quote. Steel affairs, that sounds like a pew, pew, pew. Couple of shots. Now, I'm going to go to Professor X Factor because I know he's like a hound waiting to unleash. If this statement, now he won't play the horse game. If this statement is true, that Big Ben actually told anybody that he's glad that this injury happened to him now because he doesn't want to be part of a 4-12 team, that don't sound like leadership to me. What's your take on this alleged statement in our rumor report? What you got to say, Professor? Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Well, honestly, didn't we hear from someone before that Big Ben was not really a good leader? There's a wide receiver. There's a wide receiver by the name of Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
That made the same statement. That he was able to visibly see the difference in leadership when he left Pittsburgh and ended up playing wide receiver under Peyton Manning.
Mm.
And then he said, it was at that point that I came to the conclusion that Big Ben is not a good leader.
Mm.
But we knew that without Emmanuel Sanders having to tell us that, because Big Ben has the one thing that Big Ben lacks the ability to do, and I'm not talking about those rare occasions where he's trying to play the consummate professional and, oh, well, yeah, you know, that's just something I've got to do a better job with my guys at. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the majority of the time when Big Ben gets in press conferences with an attitude and starts talking about how people around him need to do a better job. Big Ben whines.
Like Donovan McNabb.
I kind of feel like Big Ben whines and cries if he doesn't feel like he's getting the help he deserves, like a LeBron James.
Mm.
He whines and cries like a LeBron James. You know, I hope he fucking retires.
You hope he retires?
I honestly hope that he's done.
He will retire, because I want Mason Rudolph
You've listened to a guy that is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, die hard, tell us on a number of occasions in a very reluctant way that, I mean, one of the biggest problems we have is Big Ben and his attitude.
Mm.
And, Gary, you know who I'm talking about. When he said that, I was just like, whoa.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Whoa. But exactly. I remember when we lived in Pittsburgh. I'm going to tell you what leaders don't do. Leaders
can I
don't
guess,
go.
Can I guess? They don't.
Yeah, guess.
Throw your players under the damn bus.
No, they don't. They do not throw their teammates under the bus. They
Absolutely.
Don't go to restaurants and not pay the bill. They don't catch cabs and not pay the bill.
Allegedly.
They don't ride motorcycles and wreck their motorcycles. You know what I mean?
Now that was a fact.
They don't. They don't. Do shit like that. You know what I mean? And it's like everything really got handed to Big Ben. It got handed to him in a major way because he was replacing bum-ass Tommy Maddox.
Tommy Maddox, right.
Mister, I'm going to fumble without anybody touching me, Tommy Maddox. So, you know, it's a little bit, it's probably a little more difficult for Big Ben to have the level of appreciation for the position that he sits in, because it's a unique position. Everybody can't wake up every day and say, hey, I'm the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody
Absolutely.
Else doesn't get to do that. The only one person on the planet that can do that. But now, you know, so where is this drive that Big Ben is? So what you're telling me is that Big Ben, you're one of those guys that – you're good to go as long as you guys are winning. So are Pittsburgh fans now going to say that Big Ben is not a team player and that he only cares about himself the way that they did to Antonio Brown?
And Le'Veon Bell?
No. Right, but no, they're not going to do that.
I wonder why not?
Nah, come on, man. You already know what it is, man.
Now
you're going to give me a headache and make me drink. You already know what it is.
I'll leave it alone.
That's what the hell you about to do.
Because I do know this. I know for 7 years, Antonio Brown sat his ass in Pittsburgh and played with Big Ben without issue until Big
lights
Ben
out.
Threw Antonio Brown under the bus.
Yep, lights out. Played lights out. Absolutely.
So take it for how you want to take it. Big Ben, Steelers, your season is fucked. And Mason Rudolph, get rid of Joshua Dobbs. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen. In one of these games coming up here, Joshua Dobbs is going to fucking get hurt. I mean, not Dobbs, but Mason Rudolph is going to get hurt. And they're going to wish that they still had Dobbs. They're going to wish that they still had Dobbs. But we're going to say what we're getting ready to find out. You know what we're really getting ready to find out? We're really getting ready to find out whether or not Mike Tomlin can coach.
Here we go. I knew that was coming. I was sitting here waiting. I knew that part was coming.
Because when you have a future Hall of Famer at quarterback, mm-hmm. and you consistently have one of the best defenses in the league, you're not really doing a lot of coaching. Now, damn it, if you got Michael Jordan, you don't tell Mike, hey, Mike, run the triangle. Mike tells you this is what we're going to run.
Tell him why you're mad, son. Tell him why you're mad, son. Executive, you got the floor, baby.
What you want to know? What's the question?
Oh, no, I just wanted to know what you thought about this alleged statement that Big Ben was talking about.
Look, I don't give a damn about him. I don't give a damn about a Ben Snyder. I won't even write his name with a pen. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and cook me some chicken because I ain't down with the Cornish hen. I don't give a damn about Ben. I don't give a damn about him. I don't give two bowel movements. That's two shits, ladies and gentlemen. I hope, like I said, I called it. I'm still waiting for everybody to give me my credit. I called it. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, I made a bold prediction. I said, I believe I see multiple backup quarterbacks taking over the starting jobs, and three of them leading their teams to the playoffs, and maybe even one making the Super Bowl. I said that shit last week, and in less than a week, we got four starting quarterbacks all backups.
We ain't talking about Pittsburgh because they ain't gonna make the playoffs.
Hey, look! I'm gonna tell you this right now. I hope
this has nothing to do with your prediction.
I hope
they aren't making the playoffs.
I hope.
Okay, Jesse. Keep hope alive.
That they don't make the playoffs, but right. They don't make the playoffs because of other great teams that have a flawless season. I hope Mason Rudolph plays light out, and the same quarterback that Roethlisberger was talking shit about during the draft. Talk about, I think he's a good kid. I don't know why they drafted the guy because third round or not, I figure in the third round, you can still get some good guys that can help us win now. Why are you going to draft a guy that's going to be second or third or who knows where he's going to end up on a depth chart? But, you know, I guess he's a good football player. That's what you say.
He said that because he knew he didn't have Le'Veon Bell and he knew he didn't have Antonio Brown.
Look, I don't care about none of that. What I hope is Mason Rudolph plays lights out and forces Roethlisberger to retire. And Mike Tomlin sitting there with a 10-6 losing record, even though it's a winning record, it's 10-6 but didn't make the playoffs. Mike Tomlin sitting there talking about, it wasn't my coaching. I know I can be what I want to be. That's right.
I hope Big Ben is forced into retirement, and instead of retiring, they release him and he goes to Cincinnati.
You wishing a
Carson Palmer on the man?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. You got a death wish.
I'm wishing at least
my way was respectable.
I'm wishing for somebody to sit Andy Dalton's ass down.
Oh, that's coming in the draft, maybe, because if not, AJ Green gonna be the next one demanding a trade.
Yeah, you know what? I want to get back to what Professor said real quick. Ladies and gentlemen,
we'll
we got 7 minutes.
This.
Absolutely, baby. That's what I'm about to do. You know, asked me before I went and said I was about to get a headache and start drinking my damn self. You know, it bothers me that, just like you said, you know, if this comes out and this story happens to be true, this rumor report, once again, it'll be swept underneath the rug faster than your ass can spin. And then on top of that, once they find out, or if it is true, they'll find every diehard Steeler fan will find an excuse to try to spin that statement to make it seem like it wasn't what he meant to say. They will find anything to defend this guy. Just like Professor said, Antonio Brown had got his name rained through the mud. green through the mud, selfish, don't want to be bothering nobody, any team player. But guess what? When you make a statement saying that I'm glad I won't be part of a 4-12 team, allegedly, that's basically what you're saying is that everybody else is some shit except me, and I'm glad I won't be a part of it. That's basically what you're saying. And I just want his ass to get caught. I want him to get caught with his pants down, no pun intended. But I just want him to get caught and some shit.
That's
that
already happened.
Like, yo, this
he already
dude
got caught with his pants down.
Right, yeah. But we still can't prove that one either. That supposedly. Yeah, but we all know the deal on that one. But that's just
I saw you come out your house. Hey.
But, hey. Well, maybe.
Wasn't me. Wasn't me.
You know what the woman said? Maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it wasn't you.
maybe Big Ben is one of those cases of a false memory.
Oh, you know what, boy? Don't even get started on that one. But I got to get your predictions, though, gentlemen. Well, I already got executives' prediction on tonight's game between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets.
Wait. You're telling me you didn't do tonight's game last week? Because it's part of week two.
Let me finish. I got his prediction on the score of tonight's game. I didn't do that last week.
Oh, on the score. Because you just said prediction.
That's right.
I'm about to say. we'll say it faster.
No, I'm not. Professor X Factor, tonight's game between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. What is your score prediction?
I really, really don't know, man. Because the two teams they're kind of identical. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Browns' offense is ranked 31st. The Jets' offense is ranked 32nd.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns' defense is ranked first. The Jets' defense is ranked second. The Browns are 31st in passing. The Jets are 32nd. The Browns are 28th in rushing. The Jets are 30th in rushing. I really don't damn it know. they're both
like I said,
one
point.
I mean,
his retarded ass says, whatever it is, the Jets will beat him by 1 point. So no matter what the end result score is, it's going to be by 1 point. So he wouldn't put an exact 10 point on this shit. He's going to say, hey, it could be 31-30. It could be 28-29. It could be whatever.
It's going to be by one something. Either 1 point, one safety, one field goal, or one touchdown. It's going to be by one something.
this game is at least somewhat special for Odell. He's going back to MetLife Stadium since his departure from the Giants.
Yep.
So,
and he's going to overdo it.
Yeah, I see that.
He might overdo it. For me, look, I don't give a shit what else he does as long as he's putting up them numbers and helping me win. I really don't care. Like,
I'm with you on that.
I think that's what, you know, so I'm thinking that this is maybe a 21-17 game.
You know what, Professor? You know what I said? I said 24-17, and I picked Cleveland over the Jets.
Yeah, I'm picking Cleveland over the Jets.
Gotcha.
Because
so
I don't, and I'm picking Cleveland over the Jets because I don't trust Sam Darnold's decision making, and I damn sure don't trust Trevor Siemian. Now, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen.
One of them got 15 interceptions, the other one got 24 interceptions. You know, I don't trust either one of them.
Okay, what in the hell? Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get up out of here, man. We got to go. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to tonight's show. I want to thank my family, as always, my man Professor X Factor, my man Executive Chef Q Frankfurt, and the building, man. It's never a dull moment with these two dudes, man, on this show. I'm telling you that right now. Make sure you tune in this Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Locker Room Talk Radio. And this is Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, a.k.a. Silver Lining, signing off. And remember, it's never goodbye. It's always
ain't no
peace.